I confess to a preoccupation with spring, especially at this time of the year, when winter is badly straining its welcome. This is a deep-seated reaction, I think, endemic in all Northeasterners, a response akin to cabin fever and its aftermath. My interest was triggered this week by the discovery that a few people have begun to tap their maple trees. For me, this is a most symbolic occurrence, more so even than the discovery of the first blooms of skunk cabbage. It typifies my philosophy and viewpoint of spring. Most people seem to view spring as an event. I see it as an episode, the surface evidence of a sequence of internal developments, which in a very real sense forms a continuum between this year's greening and the last year's growing season. Spring is an energy explosion, but the energy it uses is a holdover, a donation from last year's time of productivity. The flow of sugar-laden maple sap is a subsurface expression of this largesse from the past. We bore into the tree to retrieve it. But hold on, you say. Why doesn't winter kill energy just as it kills the energy producers? The answer is in the strategies for storage and transfer practiced by the plant, which isn't really dead after all. Only those plants we rightly call annuals actually die. But the annual finds its mechanism for continuation in the abundance of seeds it produces. In addition to a sleeping embryo, each seed contains, you've guessed it, a sufficient supply of energy to initiate growth as soon as conditions are right. And the energy supplied is, you've guessed it again, a donation from the growing season of its production, usually last year. Of course, all flowering plants produce seeds, but only the annuals use seeds as their only means of continuation from one growing season to the next. There is room in the forest or in the weed patch for only a certain number of plants, and in most cases, the veterans, those plants we loosely call perennials, have the advantage. Those plants seem to be extinguished each season just like the annuals, but they die back to some special subterranean structure, either a rootstock or a modified stem. Let's look at some of these. The onion, like many of its relatives in the lily family, dies back to a globe-like structure called a bulb. A bulb is not a root at all, but a highly modified shoot. We call it a bud. Its scales are modified leaves or bud scales in which the energy is stored. In the center of the bud are one or several primordial shoots which, using the energy supplied by the bud, will form the next season's growth. The crocus and the gladiolus sprout from a corm, a bulb-like structure in which most of the energy is stored in pulpy stem tissue rather than in the modified leaves. Again, the current season's growth comes from buds located on the top of the corm, using energy borrowed from the pulpy stem where it was stored in previous growing seasons. By far the commonest of underground stem structures from which new growth emerges is the rhizome, a horizontal stem which looks much like a root, but reveals its true identity because of buds which can be found along the stem. The rhizomes are usually highly starchy, and this starch, manufactured during previous growing seasons in the green leaves of the plant, provides a sprouting energy for the new shoots. The Irish potato is a highly modified stem structure, an enlargement of the rhizome, rich in potential energy. Its identity as a stem is demonstrated by the eyes, each of which is a complex of nascent shoots, actually comparable to lateral buds on a regular stem. How about roots or root systems? Usually one thinks of all underground parts of plants as roots. Aren't roots involved in any of these latent energy supply? The answer is yes, and most of the underground complexes to which perennials die back are true rootstocks, where the roots themselves store the energy, and the next season growth comes from one or more buds right at the summit of the root system. These delineations of true root, rhizome, or specialized bud, however, shouldn't be allowed to confuse the real point. All growth requires energy, and this season's or this spring's greening is only partly unique to the year of its occurrence. It is in part an expression of the generosity of the preceding season. The maple sap is carrying the energy required to fuel the growth of new leaves, this year's energy factory. A simple logical plan, but there is a genius about it that seems to transcend all temporal stratagems. If we didn't have the example of nature, I wonder if we would ever be able to devise such a plan ourselves. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.